Hey, this is Taylor.
This is Jake.
And this is Dan.
And this is Unicorn Finders, where we are on the search to illuminate the elusive unicorn factor in everyday people, businesses, and relationships. Hope you enjoy.
Rachel, I want to obviously kick it off to you, introduce yourself, who you are, and maybe talk a little bit about your business.
Sure. So I am Rachel Van Nortwick. I'm the CEO and founder of Vinyly. And Vinyly is the dating app for music lovers.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So we were chatting backstage. Musician, Dan is a music connoisseur. So I'm very excited to talk about this. I want to know the OG story with this, right? Because I will say, out of all the interviews we've done, I don't think we've ever done a dating app. And no. I don't think we've had a lot of music either, Dan, have we? I don't think
just
we've had
just
a
few. Yeah. We had the one that was tracking AI so people could stake claim to their
first rule.
But no, not much.
Yeah. So Rachel, give us the OG story. How did this come about?
Yeah, I'm happy to be that intersection of music and dating for you guys. You can check that box. So the OG story is that I started listening to my parents' records at age 6. I went to my first concert at age 15. I really got hooked on the live music experience and how connected I felt to the people around me. It was palpable. And ever since then, you know, I've just been going to as many shows as I can. And I'm at, I think, 600 shows and like 36 festivals. So it's a passion of mine. And unfortunately, I was married to someone who was a not so enthusiastic plus one, and definitely strained our relationship. And then, as it turns out, you know, music compatibility is actually a really important criteria for people when they are looking to, you know, either date casually or find their plus one for life. So. There's a lot of research that supports that, and actually science supports it as well. Shared music creates dopamine in the brain, which is like emulating a romantic spark. It also lowers stress. And so there wasn't a dating app on the market. I created Vinyly in 2016. There wasn't a dating app on the market that matched based on music. And so I saw an opportunity, and I wanted it to be data forward. So I didn't want it to focus on superficiality. I really wanted it to be more about someone's music DNA, matching them with someone else's music DNA.
So how do you guys do that?
So we have a proprietary algorithm that takes into account either your Spotify user data, if you want to sync your Spotify, or we also have a profile generator. So anybody that, even if you collect vinyl only, you can jump on and create a profile. We take that and then we ask you a few questions about like the role music plays in your life and just your general sort of, you know, what you're looking for on the app. And then we take that, we present you with potential matches. And we order them. Everything in the app is music related. So there's no swiping or anything like that. So our matches are in the order of like highest volume to lowest volume. And then when you're ready to check someone's profile out, you know, you can go in, you can listen to the playlist that they've made and all of the songs, you can learn all about them. And then when you're ready, you push play. So that's how, in a real, real sort of fast.
That's good, Taylor.
Yeah, that's
good.
How it works.
I love
this
that.
This is fascinating because I also, the amount of people that would judge me, I feel like that would be interesting just with what I must do. Dan, how many shows have you been to? Like, honestly, like, do you think you're up there with Rachel?
I think I'm close. I think I'm at least 400.
That's cool.
I've probably been to 7 or 8 music festivals, starting to do more of that, right? Like, country music didn't do a lot of music festivals. And then I started listening to house music and they do a lot of, too many, like way too many. So regardless, the goal is to try to do a few more of those. I was a little scared of festivals, to be honest with you, especially as I got into like the house music scene, just because it can be a little different, especially when there's a variety of music in the EDM space. It goes from the seventh layer of hell to the greatest level of euphoria ever, right? So starting to do more of that. But I am curious because of that, Rachel. I listen to Texas country music which like is often somewhat sad, to then to like house music, and then a lot in between, right? Like I know a lot of people say they'll listen to everything. I don't listen to everything, but I do have a, like a big variety. So how do you guys from an algorithmic perspective kind of pick like moods, right? Like, so I might listen to a certain type of music in the office or out on a boat or in my car or after a tough day work. How does all of that kind of play into being able to fill out a music profile for an individual to be able to make a match?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question because we get that a lot. A lot of people feel like their music is too eclectic or they have some outliers that no one else could possibly also have or could relate to or be compatible with. And so our algorithm is nuanced. So it's not just, you know, you like this artist and I like this artist, or you like this genre and I like this genre. Mm-hmm. So we take into account like related genres, related songs, related artists, influences. And again, you know, there's also more to music compatibility besides enjoying the same types of music. It's also, right, you know, is there a willingness, is there an openness for your, you know, potential match to, DJ on a road trip? Like, are you interested in experiencing, gotcha, their music? Even if it's not your favorite, are you willing to stay, you know, to the last song, the last encore? You know, so there's also that openness. Yeah, I mean, listen,
Taylor wants to get home before the opening act's even on. You know, the concert starts at 8. All right, Jackie, we're getting
Dan. There. So basically, what I've realized during this conversation with Rachel is that me and you would not be compatible.
No, not at all. I mean, there's one thing that I love in that it's country music shows are over at 11. There's one thing that I don't like about house music is that they'll go until 3 a.m, but you got to be there. You know what I mean? Got to be there.
Yeah. Listen, I do go to a fair bit of the electronic shows, and yeah, I mean, you don't have to, if you're super young, this comes naturally to you, but if not, if you're a little bit older, you definitely have to, it's a marathon, not a sprint. Mm-hmm. So you have to sort of pace yourself. But there's so much fun. The energy of the EDM community is like another. Yeah. So I mean, I do really love all types of music. But I appreciate the energy and the community of that group, especially. Yeah. And Vinyl has done a lot. We've sponsored and promoted a lot of electronic music. But we I love all types of opportunities as it relates to music where we can support, but I hear you. And so sometimes it's nice when a show wraps up and you're not like totally exhausted for the next day.
Yeah, totally. So go ahead, Taylor.
No, I didn't want to change a thought. I had something that was going to kind of be aside. So keep going.
So I have a question for you, Rachel. So if you're the type of person that listens to a couple of different types of genres very heavily, but based on your Spotify listening algorithm, does Spotify give you pretty good list of data besides just tracks that they've listened to or playlists that they've created? Does it give you any metric in terms of like how likely they are to skip songs, that kind of stuff? Or how much data are you able to grab from that? And that's going to lead up to a follow-up question.
So Spotify has a developer API, and there's a lot of metadata that, you know, you could choose to pull into your application, whatever it is. And so for Vinyl, we really think about, you know, what is the data that is most likely going to provide us insight for music compatibility. So it's really, you know, less probably about the way they use the app, which is sort of like what you're speaking to, and more about like the what are they listening to. You know, but you're right to ask sort of like in, you know, like how much are they listening to X artist or X genre versus, you know, another genre. You can, on the app, if you don't want to sync your Spotify, you can actually create your own playlist as well.
Okay.
So you could really curate. I mean, some people say, you know, I don't want, for whatever reason, I don't want to share, you know, that I've been listening to the Jonas Brothers. And I always pick on them, and I'm waiting for them to come after me. And I think they're
That's how Taylor is with the Wiggles.
Please don't. But some people are, you know, they're like, I feel like no one's going to understand my, like, you know, my music that is not like the rest of it. And so you can create your own playlist and put out there what you want. But I always encourage to fly your music free flat, because that's the whole point, is that you want to find someone who authentically gets you, and you should be yourself. Doesn't matter if you're on Vinyl, but any app, be yourself. Like, there is no point to be anybody else, and you'll be a lot happier with the people that you meet when you're yourself.
So with that then, sorry, Taylor, I know you've got a question. With that then, I know besides putting in Spotify or creating your own playlist, I would imagine that there's like a number of questions that you would ask, like, are you a concert goer? Are you not? Yeah. Do you like going to larger like arena or stadium size events? Do you like going to smaller events? Where are you willing to travel? Are those questions that you ask as well? Or
we ask about your concert attendance, your concert habits. We ask you also too about like the role music plays in your life. So is like music your number one passion, or is music a passion? Because I think that's also really
interesting
to align on. It's also really important, like with some dating apps take a really long time to set up a profile, and that can discourage users. So we do ask you a few questions about your habits, but then, you know, we also have music conversation starters. So the point is to get you on, get your matches, and then we provide you with like kind of interesting questions, like what you're asking, to be able to ask your potential matches and then keep the chat going.
Awesome.
Rachel, go ahead, music lover. Keep asking.
I love music. I have zero musical talent.
Listen, when I saw Rachel book that, I said this can be a conversation basically for Dan and Rachel, and I'll just be here, kind of just moderating.
Unmute there.
Yeah.
So somebody presses play in the app. They get connected. Do both people have to click play? Is that how it works? I've never used a dating app. I'm sorry.
Wow. Okay. That's good for you, I guess.
For real, Dan? You never used dating apps?
You're holdout. You're just naturally, you're magnetic with your personality.
I agree
with that.
Divorced, met somebody organically, you know.
That's great.
I mean, I'm not like a beacon of like successful relationships either. So
I met my wife on Tinder. So.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Yeah, so, buddy. Yeah.
So the way that it works is for two people to connect, they both have to press play. You can reach out to someone that hasn't yet pushed play on you. But the larger chat opens up once both of you have pressed play. And what happens there as well is that you can actually search, suggest, and buy concert tickets without leaving the app.
That was my next question. I was curious if
that's
like
cool.
Tied into like a Ticketmaster, or like a Bands in Town or something else to say, hey, there's a fantastic idea. I'm out of ideas now. You took my best idea.
Yeah. So our API. Yeah. No. Listen, we're at the same wavelength. Our API is with SeatGeek currently. They just offer. It's a really great. Feed of concerts and events, and so it's been really great to work with them. But so you can search and suggest and bounce ideas off each other, and it's just sort of like a really natural, good first date option.
Awesome.
Hey Dan, can I go now?
Yeah, you're more than welcome.
All right, thanks, man. I appreciate it. So Rachel, if you're open to it, I was gonna share my screen. I pulled up your app on the Apple. I was wondering if you could just walk through the UI a little bit, if you're okay with that. All right. I'm going to share.
You pulled it up on the Apple.
Shut up, Dan. All right. Let's see here. So obviously first off, can you kind of give a quick, overview of kind of what we're seeing right now?
So this is what I was just talking about. This is sort of at the end. But if you wanted to restart it, you should just be able to press play on it. But I can speak to it either way.
Sorry, it's his first time on the Apple.
Shut up, Dan.
Okay, so that's our home screen. This is an option where if you're not syncing Spotify, you can go and pick your artists. You can build your playlist, pick songs. You can then it's showing you going through a profile, what information you'll be able to see. I mean, this particular video is like 30 seconds, so it moves very quickly.
Right. And it will fly through this for sure.
But we have a longer one on our YouTube. But the idea is that, initially it's just you're developing your profile. Then what's cool is actually once you develop your profile, you can see and learn about the music you're already listening to. Like you're probably listening to genres you're not even aware of, because we actually break down the types of genres you're listening to in your profile. And there's really interesting subgenres like ninja rock and,
Big ninja rock guy. Big ninja rock guy.
I'm sure. Yeah.
What is ninja rock, Taylor?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, so then after that, you are delivered your match cue, and then you just can go through and what's cool about our app, which isn't always the case with others, is that you can get really deep into someone's profile before you press play. And then after that, you press play, you can send a chat message to start it off. Hopefully you meet some great people. I mean, we have everything on the app, from concert buddies to, looking for commitment. So you can actually also meet platonic matches on the app. And that is also something on our roadmap we're going to build out further. So the idea being, if you did, let's say you met a romantic match on the app, then, as a couple, or even if you haven't used the app to meet your person, you still as a couple then could go out and find additional concert buddies on the app as well, sort of as, one user. So I think there's a lot of opportunity. I mean, music is better when shared. So there's a lot of opportunity just for community, not just romantic, but also platonic through the app.
And you said that was called Vinyl Only. So did you say that earlier, or did I totally mishear you?
The app is Vinyl-y, but I did say, if you only collect vinyl, for example, and you don't have, you're not even
gotcha.
Using streaming service, what you do can I know? Still set up a profile. Yeah.
Okay.
So
if I'm going to a hold on one second. So if I go to a concert and say Red Rocks and I'm solo, maybe out on a work trip, whatever, I can go on the app, see if there's somebody else that's maybe going, try to create some sort of friendship, partnership, whatever that might be.
That's cool. I like that. I like that.
I love
that.
You could also be, if you're there in the Denver area, or you set your location to Denver area, you can start talking to music fans and maybe, invite someone to go that also maybe like you wanted to go, but they didn't have anyone to go with. So
I love that.
Yeah. So Dan and I didn't want to go together. Dan can go find another friend.
Well, no, you're going to leave before the opening act. Remember?
100%. Yeah. I'm going to be together. In my pajamas.
How many users do you guys have? How have you guys grown? Talk to us a little bit about the business side of this app here.
Sure. So we have a little bit over 26,000 downloads. We are growing rapidly year over year. I think we had about 100,000 matches last year presented. So it's been great. I mean, we launched right before the pandemic, and as I just explained, we had sort of that hook of being able to search and suggest live concerts. That went away. We had to actually pivot to including live stream concerts within that functionality, and there wasn't an API, so we had to build our own. But because we launched right before the pandemic, as you remember, pretty much dating apps were the only way you could actually still go out and meet someone, because everything was locked down. So dating apps as a category, really, really benefited, from COVID, if that's a way you can even position something. But dating apps were what people used. And so we got a lot of growth there. I think it was 12,000%. We've benefited from a lot of really good PR, New York Times and Vogue and Nylon and OK Player have featured us, which is great. And we're just trying to, get the word out to music lovers to give us a try.
go ahead.
No, my turn. How do you guys make money? Is it just sponsorships and from a partnership side of things, or is it like, do I pay $5 for a profile? Like, what does that look like?
So we just started monetizing. For me, I felt like, you know, until we had a sizable user base, I didn't think I could justify. I didn't want to try to have folks, you know, come in and pay for the app. But once we reached a sizable user base, we turned on monetization. So that happened in December. So you can Vinyl is completely free to download. You can set up your profile, but to view matches, there's a really, really small in-app purchase, which is either a subscription or a one-time fee, which is much lower than other dating apps. I like that you did ask about sort of that partnership opportunity. So we'll never sell advertising in the Vinyl app, but in terms of working with like promoters and labels and artists in a way that benefits our users as well, there is opportunity. And those are conversations that I'm having today about sort of, you know, kind of elegantly integrating, you know, those types of brands and businesses into the app so that they can get exposure to our community.
What's next for Vinyl in terms of new features or just areas of opportunity for you guys to continue to grow as a business?
So we dropped an AI feature last year. We were one of the first to do it.
Nice.
And it's just like a fun feature where you can create a cocktail recipe based on like blending two genres together, and it creates a bespoke cocktail. And it's sort of this fun thing to do, and we're sort of emulating the idea of buying someone a drink in a bar.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So we use ChatGPT for that, and it was fun. Yeah. But where I think we can go with AI, where it's, I think, really powerful, is that with the data that we have in our database on, you know, how and who actually matches, we can then use that to guide users if they want to, like to say, hey, like your inclination might be, oh, I want to find somebody who is a country/house person, and your matches may do that. But there may be also matches we give you that might be kind of outside of that you may overlook. But our data shows that actually, because you like this type of music, you actually may be more compatible with this person for these reasons. And
right.
I think that's just, you know, that's how the people that are using AI the right way, they're just using it to basically improve customer experience. And so that's where we're looking to go. And then also expansion internationally. So we're in the US, UK, and Canada, which are great music markets and good, you know, markets for, you know, single people looking to meet someone. But there are also a lot of other places that we want to be, and where we get a lot of users asking for us to go. So that's what's next. And then the Concert Buddies expanded functionality that we touched on. Those are sort of three big pillars for us.
Because like, I know America loves music, but I feel like Europe like is obsessed with music, right? And like, I know Australia is obsessed with music, and a lot of the going out and doing things together and being able to meet other people. So it seems like such a huge opportunity to do that, especially when people are traveling or having a unique experience, maybe going to Ibiza for the first time or whatever it might be. But I'm fascinated by this idea. I think it's an incredible way to get to really learn about. So I think you can learn a lot about somebody from the music that they listen to, but also a lot about your, I know that you mentioned compatibility. I think that that's so huge. And just in terms of the way that you consume music and concerts, just not everybody's a concert goer. Not everybody loves live music. Not everybody loves all of that, but being able to find the compatibility of multiple genres and how they might be able to mix is awesome. So I'm very, very keen on what you guys are building, and I'm certainly wishing you the most success.
Right on. Thank you.
Yeah, Rachel, thank you so much. If anybody has any questions or wants to reach out to you, what's the best way for people to reach out to you?
So we are on, you know, all the socials at Vinyl app. The website's there. You can go to vinylyapp.com. Check us out. Give us a shot. It's free to download, and hopefully you'll find your person.
I love it. I love it.
Before we go, Rachel, what's your favorite concert?
Great question. Great question.
Festivals or venues? Just give me your concert DNA here.
Love it. I mean, I will tell you my favorite artists range from Paul Simon, Simon and Garfunkel to the Beastie Boys. I just saw Shaboozey live at Stagecoach.
And I wish I saw that. That would have been great.
I'm obsessed. Like, I cannot get enough.
He's great.
What a cool story.
Yes. Amazing story, amazing talent. I'm also really into Idols. Awesome band out of the UK. Like, they're about to, I mean, they've already honestly like blown up, but they're going to blow up more. So that's kind of what I'm into. I also like certain music venues like more than others. In LA, I love the Troubadour. It's such a great place to see music. And then of course, like everybody else, Red Rocks is killer. Like, you can't see a bad show at Red Rocks as well.
I love that.
Awesome.
I need Rachel, to go to the Troubadour. I've heard great things.
Thank you.
Rachel, thank you so much.
Have you been to the Gorge? Taylor, stop. We have another 2 minutes. Have you been to the Gorge yet?
You know, I have not been to the Gorge, and I actually lived in Seattle, so that's super disappointing, right? But I know I will get there. I will get there at one point or another. Have you been there?
No, I haven't.
What's the Gorge? I don't even know the Gorge.
It's in Washington State.
Okay.
And it's beautiful. I mean, it's just you're outside. In this beautiful, sort of valley, and the stage is
that's at gorgeous.
The bottom of this hill, and it's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. The surroundings are incredible. A lot of they've had music festivals out there for a long time. Like Dave Matthews, mm-hmm. Plays there regularly. It's really a cool venue.
Yeah, that one in the Sphere. I feel like I have to go. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I'm not even a concert guy, and I would love. Dan, let's go to something at the Sphere together.
You should go. I went for U2, and it was incredible. And then I'm going again for Dead & Company, which I'm assuming is going to be.
That's
going to
be. Yeah.
There's going to be a nice cloud of smoke hovering at the top of that Sphere for about 4.5 hours of green smoke. I love it.
Awesome. Well, again, thank you, Rachel, for hanging out with us today. We appreciate it. Stay on real quick so we can see about you backstage. But again, I saw the analytics. We had a ton of people tune in this morning. So again, thank y'all for watching. Y'all have a good one, and we'll see y'all next week. Peace.
Thank you.